listening to Law and Gospel on this May the 23rd in the year of our Lord 2024. It's a Wednesday, and we're taking a look at additional readings for this coming Holy Trinity, which is from Isaiah chapter 6 and Acts chapter 2. I really like Isaiah chapter 6 because Isaiah is one of the best of the prophets to help us understand about the Holy Trinity and also the work of Jesus Christ. Isaiah is writing, and he talks about in the year when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a high and lofty throne, and his robe filled the temple. Above him stood angels, seraphim. Each had six wings, two to cover his face, two to cover his feet, and two to fly with. Now, why this description of the angels? Because at this time, even the angels were not permitted to see the face of God. And their feet were covered because they would only go where God instructed them to go to. They kept calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. His glory fills the whole world." Now you may ask, why three holies? Well, because it refers to the Lord of armies. And who is the Lord of armies? That would be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet, though they are three persons, they're only one God. And that's why the singular, his glory, fills the whole world. Verse 4 of Isaiah 6. The voices of those who called shook the foundations under the thresholds, and smoke filled the temple. Now, the idea of God using smoke is found throughout the Old Testament, particularly with the temple. And so, with this description of what is going on in the temple, Isaiah is under the impression that he is seeing God himself. So he responds, "Woe is me," I said, "I'm destroyed, because I'm a man with unclean lips, living among people with unclean lips. And I've seen the King, the Lord of armies." In other words, he is under the impression that having seen God, and he is still a sinner, that he will be destroyed. But, verse 6, then one of the angels flew to me, and in his hand were tongues with which he had taken a glowing coal from the altar. Tongues is sometimes what you use when you're doing a barbecue with a barbecue pit. And you take the tongues and wrap them around the meat to turn them over so both sides get done. Well, this angel had a tongue, and he took a glowing coal from the altar. Now, what did he do with that coal? He touched my mouth with it and said, "Now, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Now, notice that he took the glowing coal from the altar. What altar do you think Isaiah has in mind? He's talking about the cross. That's where God was. And that's why a glowing coal from the altar touched his mouth and touched his lips. And your guilt is taken away. That's what it means that your sin is forgiven. He is no longer held accountable for his sins. Then I heard the Lord ask, "Whom should I send? And who will go for us?" Now, there's a singular and a plural. The Lord says, "Whom should I send?" using the word "I." But then he says, "Who will go for us?" So what that means, the question is being asked by one of the persons from the Holy Trinity. And he's asking Isaiah, "Who will now go in our place to preach the message to the people?" And what does Isaiah say? "Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" That's a hymn that we often talk about and sing in worship. That Isaiah, as a prophet, the other prophets in the Old Testament, and the apostles are the ones who say, "Send me, send me." The other reading to look at is Acts chapter 2. This is after the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes. And it names all the nations that are hearing in their own language the message of Jesus Christ. In our own languages, we hear these disciples tell about God's wonderful things. They were all amazed and puzzled. "What can this mean?" they asked one another. But others sneered. "Well, these people are full of new wine." Then Peter got up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed them. "These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. And then the text continues, beginning with verse 22. Peter, addressing the people who are amazed at what they are hearing. Men of Israel, verse 22, listen to what I have to say. Jesus from Nazareth, God showed you who the man is by doing miracles, startling wonders, and miraculous signs through him among you, as you know. So, Peter begins by showing that Jesus from Nazareth was the man, which is in capitals, the man they were waiting for. They were waiting for the Messiah. And Jesus was the Messiah because he did miracles, startling wonders, miraculous signs. Verse 23, God definitely planned and intended to have him betrayed. And so you had wicked men nail him to a cross, and you killed him. That is a really important verse, because yes, they took his life, but it was part of the plan of God, who planned it from before the foundation of the world, intending to have him betrayed by Judas. And so the devil tempted wicked men to nail Jesus to a cross, and that's how they killed him. Verse 24, but God set aside the pains of death and raised him. Death could not hold him. So, if you take a look at the various parts of the Bible, it is true that Jesus raised himself, because he says, I have the power to be put on the cross and die, but I also have the power to be raised from the dead. Remember that one statement, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will rebuild it. And there, he was talking about himself as the temple of God, which, of course, is what Isaiah 6 was all about. So, verse 24, God set aside the pains of death and raised him. Death could not hold him. David says of him, I always see the Lord before me. He is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. And so my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. Yes, even my body will rest hopefully. That reminds us when David's son, who had been born of Bathsheba, died. David said that that boy will not return to me, but I will go to him. And so that is why his heart is glad and why his tongue rejoices, because even my body will rest hopefully. We see this on a number of tombstones, asleep in Jesus or at rest. The rest is our sleeping in the grave of our bodies, but we are hopeful that they will be risen from the dead. Verse 27, because you will not leave me in the grave or let your loved one experience decay. Now, it's very important to understand that verse 25, David is not just talking about himself. He's talking of him, namely the one raised from the dead, who says, I always see the Lord before me. He is at my right hand, that I will not be shaken. And so my heart, that is the heart of Jesus, is glad, and my tongue rejoices. Yes, even my body will rest hopefully, because you will not leave me in the grave or let your loved one experience decay. So Jesus, while in the grave from Friday to Sunday, did not experience any decay. Verse 28, you show me ways of life. You will fill me with joy by being with me. And remember the words from the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That this section of David is found in Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11. Then Peter continues, fellow Jews, I can tell you frankly, our ancestor David died and was buried, and his grave is here to this day. He was a prophet and knew God had sworn to him to put one of his descendants on his throne. This is why many a time Jesus has referred as coming from the family of King David, because he is the descendant of David's family who is going to be put on the throne. And that's referring to his exaltation into heaven. Verse 31, David saw what was ahead, and said the Christ would rise again. Now, there's that word Christ. This is in Acts chapter 2. And that's the Greek word for Messiah. He would rise again. Verse 31 continues. He was not deserted when he was dead, and his body did not experience decay. Remember the words of Jesus from the cross. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So, God has raised this Jesus. We are all witnesses of that. That would be referring to the work of God the Father. While elsewhere it says, Jesus also raised himself, and the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. What happened after that? Verse 33. Lifted up to God's right hand, and receiving from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you see and hear. Now, when was this promise of the Holy Spirit? It was a promise that Jesus gave to the disciples on the night of his resurrection, that the Holy Spirit would be coming, which occurred after his resurrection. There were two events after the resurrection we celebrate. The one occurred 40 days after Easter, and that was the ascension. The second occurred 50 days after the resurrection, and that was Pentecost, the very day that Peter is talking to the Jews. Peter continues in verse 34. David didn't go up to heaven, but he says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right until I make your enemies your footstool. Now, you can't find a better teaching of the Trinity than that verse, because it doesn't say the Lord says to Jesus. No, it says the Lord says to my Lord. So that would be God the Father talking to God the Son. Sit at my right until I make your enemies your footstool. How did David know that? It's Psalm 110, verse 1, a revelation to David to know that Jesus is Lord, that he is God. And the Father says to the Son, sit at my right. Verse 36. Then all the people of Israel should know it's true that God made him Lord and Christ. This Jesus, whom you crucified. And of course, that was also part of the message of the Holy Spirit. So here in this section, you have the Trinity clearly talked about, with all three persons mentioned. God the Father, God the Son, and also in verse 33, the promised Holy Spirit. He has poured out what you see and hear. So, David knew revelation from God the Father that Jesus would sit at his right until the enemies become his footstool. That's why every Christian should be confident that heaven is their home. And they should know that God has kept his promise. This is a wonderful passage. The sermon of the Apostle Peter.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.